So in Matthew 11:28-30, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so here Jesus is asking us to trust him in a personal way. When we look at the piece of scripture, it says that all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me. And he's saying, will you come and trust me? Will you come and lay yourself down at my feet? And he's saying, will we not be crushed by religion? Will we not be crushed by the things of this world? But that we will align our hearts with his. And that he is the one who will be able to bring peace for our souls. He wants us to have faith in him. And so he is the one who comes and brings peace. He is the one who comes and brings faith to our hearts. And so he says, come to me. And if you look at this picture of the yoke, I wanted to get the picture of a yoke. And so I don't know if you guys know what a yoke is, but a yoke is the thing that they used long time ago. They don't use it anymore that much. But a yoke is where there are a donkey and an oxen, or two oxen or two donkeys tied up next to one another. And so this yoke is basically there for the different animals to come alongside one another and give themselves to one another to pull this cart, or to pull the, I can't remember, the plower. So they can pull the plower and to plow the ground. And so the yoke is actually so significant for us, because when I look at the yoke, it means that actually we are submitted to one another. We follow one another. We help and carry one another's burdens. And so we are submitted to one another. And so here where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so this yoke is metaphorically speaking to us. It's actually saying, will we submit ourselves to Jesus? Will you allow Jesus to carry the yoke? And will we pick up the yoke that Jesus is carrying? Saying, because if we carry this together as Jesus and myself, he makes it light. He makes these burdens, these heavy things in our hearts, he comes and he makes it light for us. And he brings a rest and he brings peace. But then he is also saying, will you learn from me? As you submit yourself to him, will you come and learn from me? That I'm gentle and that I'm lowly in heart. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus is a gentle God. He's gentle with us. Sometimes he needs to speak in a harsh way, that we will listen, that we will fear him. Because he is a God to be feared. But he comes and he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. And what this word lowly in heart means, he says that I come in all humility. I come in humbleness before you. I don't come in a proud and arrogant way to you. I come in a humble way. And he says, learn from me. And so this is a lifelong journey for us, learning to be as gentle as God. It's a lifelong journey for us to learn of his humility. But do we submit ourselves to him that he is able to teach it to us? Or are we so focused on the things of this world? Are we so focused on the burdens and the things that we carry? Or are we submitted to him and allowing him to carry the burdens? Are we giving that yoke to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are we submitted to him and allowing him to carry the burdens and the things that we are carrying? Because he comes and he makes it light so that we can find rest for our souls. And so there are ways. He makes it easy for us in a sense. And tonight I'm just going to speak about three things that actually can help us. Number one, the Holy Spirit. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to come and teach you? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to come and give you understanding? Will you allow Holy Spirit to speak and wanting to show you what is God's heart for you? Like, man, can we submit ourselves to Jesus and can we give ourselves to him that when Holy Spirit comes, that he will show me what I must do? That he will teach me what I should do and should not do. So we need to invite Holy Spirit into our lives. We need to say, Jesus, you have sent the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, to come and lead me and come and help me. So Father, would you ask Holy Spirit to help me and lead me? When you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, will you guide me today? Will you lead me into the presence of God? That I will be close to my Father and not distance from him? Holy Spirit, will you come and align my heart with his? I invite you in. Will you come and speak? So simple. So easy. Holy Spirit, will you come in and teach me? Give me understanding. Help me to get to know my Father's heart. In John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And so Holy Spirit is the Advocate, the Helper, who comes and shows us what we are reading in Scripture, shows us what Jesus is saying to us as individuals, as a church, as a family. He comes and he helps us. He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that he has said. Holy Spirit comes and he reminds us of what God is saying in his word. Holy Spirit comes and reminds us the promises of God for us. He comes and reminds us that he is a gentle God that loves you, that cares for you. Sometimes it goes difficult. And we're like, Jesus, where are you? And the Holy Spirit nudges and he says, he's right here. Just wait on him. Allow him to come and heal your heart. Allow him to come and love you. And so the Holy Spirit will remind us of these things. He will remind us of the truths that Jesus calls us to do. He'll remind us of our rights and our wrongs. But most important, he will remind us of him. And he will draw us in and say, will you allow Jesus to come in? Will you allow Jesus to come and pierce your heart? So number one, invite Holy Spirit in. First step. First thing you need to do, invite him in. Second point I want to make is through praying and fasting. And I know you think fasting is not fun. It's difficult. But fasting is such a way to the Father's heart. praying. Why do we pray? Praying is when we communicate to God. Praying is when we start having conversations with Him. And so my question is, are we praying to Him? Are we having a conversation with Him? Because praying is not just, Jesus, will you give me everything that I need? Amen. No. Praying is, Jesus, will you come and show me what I need to do? Will you come and speak? Your servant is listening. And are we listening to Him? Are we listening to Him speaking to us? Praying is not just saying amen. Yes, it says, let His will be done. But praying is that thing of, am I speaking and communicating with Him? And allowing Him to speak back to me? Asking Him things that you need. Asking Him to be with you. Asking Him to lead you. But not just that, but praying for those who are in need. Praying for those who need to get to know Jesus. Are we praying for only ourselves, or are we praying for those around us? Are we praying for any people that we see, people that we think about? Are we praying for them? Are you communicating with God and speaking to Him? Because prayer is such a beautiful way that we can connect our hearts and align our hearts with the Father's. Are we fasting? Why do we fast? Fasting is not just that I can starve myself to death. Fasting is so that I can remember that I do not have to rely on the strength of my own body. I do not have to rely on the things of this world. Food, drink, doesn't matter. Will Jesus come and fill you? Am I willing to sacrifice everything that I'm eating and I'm drinking so that the Lord will come and fill my spirit? Are we only worried about physical food, or are we worried about our spiritual food? Is our spirits getting fed through praying, through fasting, through inviting Holy Spirit to come in and change us? Are we doing these things? Psalm 141 verse 2. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. And I want to focus on that word incense before Him. This is a prayer where the servant comes to God and is like, man, would my prayer be incense? And what does incense mean? Incense, it is this burnt substance, normally like spice or gum or anything that has this flavor, this unique flavor, and when you smell it, man, it's just such a pleasing aroma. When you smell it, you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Is your prayer incense to God's ears and His smile and His heart? Man, it's not just believing that He hears us. We need to believe that He hears us, but we need to know that He is listening. He's listening and He knows the desires of our hearts. But is our prayer like incense before Him? I'm saying, like, is it a sweet smell, a sweet fragrance when we start praying to Him? How is that possible? It's when we lay down ourselves and get before Him and saying, Lord, here's everything of who I am. Use everything of Enrico. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Here's my finances. Use everything. I give it to you today, Lord. Father, would you come and have your way? May I be able to give everything before you. And let my prayer be like incense before you. Is your prayer life a sweet fragrance to Him? Like, do you get on your knees and pray and ask? Do you get in on your knees and lay down yourself before Him? Because that is the people that He's called us to be. We need to know that He listens. We need to know that we have to believe and have faith in Him, that He hears us, and that He knows the desires of our hearts. Number three, how is it possible for us to come closer to Him? And it is through Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Scripture brings us closer to the heart of God. It brings us to Him and it teaches us what is right in His sight and what is wrong. It teaches us to get to know His love. Through the Scripture, we get to know the truth of Jesus. We need to get to know the truth of God. To know that He is the one who changes us. It's not just by some fancy preach or some fancy worship. It's about His Scriptures bringing life to our being. It's about Scripture bringing truth to us and changing us, leading us to repentance, correcting us, convicting us. When I read Scripture, am I just reading to go through it all? Or am I sitting and meditating on it? Am I waiting for the Scripture to pierce my heart as I'm reading it? Or am I just going through the words? Because if I go through the words, I must be a Christian. No. We need to let the Word of God pierce our hearts. We need to let the Word of God come and stir conviction and lead us to repentance. Teach us things that we might be doing wrong. But most of all, the Scripture needs to bring us closer to His heart. But how do we allow the Scripture to bring correction? How do we allow the Scripture to come and change us? First of all, point number one, we need to ask Holy Spirit to come into our lives. We need to ask Holy Spirit to come and speak. Before you start reading the Scriptures, are you saying, Holy Spirit, will you come and bring revelation and wisdom and understanding to my heart? Are we inviting Holy Spirit in when we start praying? Are we inviting Holy Spirit in when we start reading? And are we meditating on the Word of God? Sometimes we pick up a Bible and we're like, man, I'm going to read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation in a year. Man, that is great. But when last did you sit on one verse for a whole week? Because it pierces your heart. Because it convicts you and it leads you closer to Him. Are you spending time in the Scriptures when you sit and you meditate on one verse? One word. Like, I'm looking at the shortest verse in the Bible. And I'm not sure if you know this, but the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. in the practical, it's like, how am I going to sit on Jesus' web? But in our hearts, when we've asked the Holy Spirit to come and do something and change something with our hearts, when we look at the scripture where it says Jesus wept, we don't just see the words, but we start seeing his heart, a heart of compassion, a heart of love, a heart that cares, a heart that longs for a friend. Is that the thing that we are seeing when we read our scripture? Or is this thing that we're seeing just the words, Jesus wept? Is the scripture piercing your heart? Because if it's not, I want to ask you, stop rushing through your scriptures. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and convict you. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and pierce your heart through the truth that is our scripture, that the Lord has blessed us with to get to know him. Pause. Ask Holy Spirit, what stood out? What is the thing that you want me to be reminded of? Because sometimes we read the Bible and all of a sudden the word love stands out. And you're like, Lord, why is this word love? And the Lord might come and he says, do you know how much I love you? Do you know how much I care for you? I loved you so much that I died on a cross for you. Do you ask yourself why are specific words or specific verses standing out? Do you meditate on it? Don't rush through the scripture and allow the scriptures to pierce our hearts so that we will get to know him and his heart. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, I want to read the NIV first. So I've got it in NIV and NLT, and I want you to see the difference in what it says. In the NIV, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than in any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. NLT. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It is alive, it is active, it is powerful. The Word of God is active, alive, and powerful. Are we reading it through that lens? Knowing that the Scripture comes and it pierces our hearts. It needs to bring conviction. The Scripture brings encouragement. The Scripture leads us closer to Jesus. But sometimes the scripture is difficult because it brings repentance and it brings conviction. But are we pushing it aside or are we accepting the fact that God also comes and he leads us to repentance and conviction? Because he is the God of love. He is the God who provides. He is the God who cares for us. But he's still a God to be feared. He's still a God that can bring the wrath on each and every one of us. So in a loving Father that he is, he's still someone who is to be feared. And are we seeing both? Are we seeing the loving and the kindness of God our Savior? And are we also seeing that God is to be feared? And he leads us to repentance and conviction. Is the Word of God powerful and alive and active in your life? is it leading closer to His heart? Is it penetrating your heart? Is it dividing soul and spirit? Cutting between soul and spirit? Is the Word of God cutting your heart? Because what the Word of God does, it exposes the thoughts and desires that are not of Him. And it leads us closer to Him, to be more like Him. And so if the Scripture is not changing us, Holy Spirit, will You come in and allow the Spirit of God to just come and change the way I read, come and change the way I pray, that Holy Spirit will bring conviction and revelation, wisdom and understanding. And the last thought. Let's become quiet before the Lord. Psalm 131, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, my heart... Alright, that's fine. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with the things too great and the things too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. So David is writing this psalm to the Lord. And what he does in verse 1, where he says, my heart is not lifted up and my eyes are not raised too high. He does not come in arrogant to the Lord. He comes into the Lord with all humility. And he's saying, Lord, I have quieted my soul. And I become content in the presence of God. Are we becoming content in the presence of God? Do we come with a boastful and arrogant way before the Lord? Lord, You need to change this. Lord, You need to do this right now. Or are we coming in? Lord, would You come and help? Will You come and lead? Not my will be done, but Your will be done, Lord. Are we coming with a posture of humility? Or are we coming into the place of pride, of arrogance? Man, He wants us to come in and get to know His heart. But we need to be firstly submitted to Him. We need to ask Holy Spirit to come and lead us and change us. And we need to come before Him and say, Lord, will You come and show Your heart to us? Will You come and change my heart as I read to the Scriptures? I think if I can look at God and spending time with Him, I think if there's one thing that I've realized about God in the last few years of my life, it feels like God's love language is quality time. He loves spending time with us. He loves bringing us into His presence. He loves it when we enter into His presence. Are you in love with His presence? Do you love going to Him and just spending time with Him? Through prayer? Through the Scriptures? Or sometimes even just becoming quiet before Him? When last did you pray for 30 minutes? When last did you read the Scriptures for 30 minutes? When last were you quiet before the Lord, saying nothing and just listening for 30 minutes? And I want to share a quick story just on that. When I was about, it was in my matric year, I asked the Lord two questions. And I asked him to speak to me about it. I came home just after 9 in the evening. No, it was later. I think it was probably around 11. I went to my room and I said, Lord, I've got two questions in my heart. Will you come and speak to me? And I sat on the floor, played some soft worship music in the back, and I sat and I sat and I waited and I waited. Just listening to God, just hearing that He will speak. And after 2 hours of just hearing nothing, I'm like, Father, I really want to hear you speak to me. But I'm so tired. I really want to sleep. I can't keep my eyes open. I'm going to fall asleep on the floor. So, Father, would you speak? Because I really want to go to bed. I was so tired. And I was like, Lord, I'm going to sit for another few minutes. If you're willing to speak to me, I would appreciate that. I would love that. But if you're not, I think I'm going to go to bed in the next 10 minutes. And literally, as I went back and sat on the floor again, it's as if the Lord instantly started speaking to me. And He answered both of my questions. Took Him 2 minutes. And I'm like, Lord, I had to sit for 2 hours becoming quiet before You. And You come and You share both questions in 2 minutes. My question in my heart was not, why did it take so long? The question in my heart was, Lord, am I even worthy that You would speak to me in this way? Because I clearly heard Him. I clearly felt His presence. I clearly heard His voice speaking to me and sharing me the answers that I was looking for. Are you willing to wait before the Lord? And quiet your soul. Allow the things of this world to not stand in the way between you and God. So I want to say, man, we need to be in love with the presence of God. If it's through prayer, if it's through the scriptures, or even if it's through just being quiet. But the point is, when we spend time with God, first question, first thing that we need to do, Holy Spirit, will You come in and help? Will You come and teach? Will You come and show me the presence of God? Will You come and lead me into the presence of God? Because without Holy Spirit, we won't find Him. We need Holy Spirit to guide us.